What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest physique in sports today, I give you Ravishing Rick Rude.
You talk about arrogance. This man exudes arrogance from every pore.
What I'd like to have right now
is for all you fat, out of shape, Rhode Island rednecks,
Atlantic City sweat hogs,
New York nitwits,
keep the noise down
while I take my robe off and show the ladies what a real sexy man looks like.
He was Picasso showing his masterpiece.
He could get all of the men hating him and the women wooing him all in the same moment.
In every sense of the word, he was ravishing.
Rude Awakening coming up. Forget about it. It's all over.
Rick antagonized people enough that you wanted to see him beat, but you knew he was legitimately tough, too.
Ravishing Rick Rude is much more than the ultimate intercontinental champion. Rude has defeated Nature Boy Ric Flair for the world heavyweight title.
The fans kind of love to hate him, and, you know, he loved to be hated.
You can steal my girl, and you can whip my ass. He was that good. He had everything that you wanted to hate about a guy.
You're jealous because that woman sitting next to you lives, eats, and breathes Ravishing Rick Rude. Cut the music!
And congratulations to Ravishing Rick Rude, the latest inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2017. It was first reported today by Bleacher Report. Rick Rude, one of the all-time greats, and he joins Kurt Angle, the Rock and Roll Express, Diamond Dallas Page, Teddy Long, and Beth Phoenix as inductees into the WWE Hall of Fame. The induction ceremony takes place this the Friday night before WrestleMania, only on the WWE Network.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbuckletrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckletrowbacks and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm gonna end your career once and for all, right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the Rude Awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF, because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you looking at, the man? Woo! It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast.
Woo! Yeah!
There's never been a better time for music creation.
What I like to have right now, is for all you fat, out of shape, internet fucking smart marks, get away from mommy's basement, step away from the computer, put on Rant EM Radio, and listen to a real podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the heavyweight primate, the impact player, Mr. Philly Ray, and I am joined by
the Portuguese Man of War, Chubby.
And we have a special guest in studio. Say hello, special guest.
Konnichiwa, bitches.
Ooh, it's Darkness himself.
The self-proclaimed king of bacon.
No. Well, yeah, he is.
Right. Technically he is.
No, he isn't.
This song makes me in the mood for a real passionate lovemaking.
What, with your hand?
Yeah. With who, Rosie Palm and the Five Sisters?
That's funny.
Huh?
That's funny.
Virgin.
Yeah.
No, the fuck I'm not.
Spare checker.
Listen.
I'm not a virgin.
I did say you were. He did.
Virgin.
Scott Muni said you did.
I'm not a virgin.
Fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck it.
Okay, terrific.
How's everybody doing?
Very good.
I'm great.
We're live on Rant EM Radio.
We're live.
That's right. Rant Entertainment Media, part of Shining Wizards Network. It is March, what is it, the 10th?
The 9th.
No, it's got to be the 10th, right, Choppy?
It's the 10th.
Okay.
Thank God you met my fucking calendar over there, fucking darkness. So, yeah, it's the 10th. I got to tell you, very, very long week. We had snow today, man. It was awful.
Oh, it was fantastic.
No, it wasn't,
no,
Dick.
It was not,
my,
Dick.
My entire fucking day revolved around running errands, and I was out in this shit all day. So I had a foot doctor appointment today, right? Yeah, I have something going on with my foot, so I went to the doctor. And I get there like 8:45 in the morning, right? And it sucks when the receptionists are fucking smoking hot and you got to sit in some seat with your gnarly fucking feet hanging out and wait for your doctor to come in and they're walking by and I'm like, oh man, I'm so embarrassed. Because I have a size 14 foot and it's big, it's fat and flat. It's disgusting.
right?
Come here, baby, lick my feet.
That's gross. And I've never seen your feet, but I can imagine your feet are fucking stank and gnarly looking.
No shit.
No shit.
By the way, all joking aside, is your feet okay? What the hell was that?
And you just killed an Ichi boy. Oh. What happened? Leave him on the floor. Leave him on the floor.
How's your foot? Is everything okay?
It's fine, yeah. It's just, but being out there, so wifey had to drop me off. She had something to do with church. So she picks me up. Like, and the whole day, it's like this nasty, wet, heavy snow. Come to find out, I'm waiting at McDonald's. You post a video. You're two blocks from my house. If I knew you weren't even work today, I would have stayed home after the doctor and walked down. Because you went, did you go to Mike's?
I went to Mike's.
Motherfucker. I'm jonesing for a gyro all day. And I'm like, motherfucker, he's two blocks from my house. And I'm on the other side of the island now.
You motherfuckers are making me hungry.
I'm sorry.
We're sorry.
Go eat something. We're not here. I'm not cooking you nothing now, motherfucker. It's late.
I know.
Go going down a block, get yourself own something for your own self.
If you will.
But yes, Shaylin, it is Rage. It is Rage, the creator, a.k.a. Blackachu, a.k.a. Darkness, a.k.a.
Hey, girl.
Hey, boo. Hey. Hey, girl. Hey.
I am the king of bacon.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the time being.
For the time being, right. We'll get to that in a few minutes. So, yes, Rage is in studio. I asked Rage to come tonight because I wanted to give him some items of stuff, and I wanted him to clear the air and some shit that we'll get into in a little while, and I wanted to talk about Impact because I didn't see it. So did you. I didn't see Impact.
Yeah.
Listen, if Jay Bacca could be the Lucha liaison for WLW, we should have Rage be the Impact liaison. He's the only one that marks over shit like that.
I was the Impact like insider for like a few years, and then like I like fell off of it because I fucking hate Dixie Carter, and now that old witchy cunt's gone. Now I can breathe happily.
He said witchy cunt. Don't tell Shining Woods' Tony that. That's his boo.
With that lazy eye?
He's got a thing for Tony, if you're listening.
I thought that man had some fucking class. The man, the way he talks on Shining Wizards with
his
taste in women.
Listen.
That guy has the guy is into Dixie Carter. That he has no class.
If you put your hand on this $150 lid, I'll slap them lips on the side of your face.
That's all right.
Listen, he's a smart man because she's fucking rich.
Yeah.
Don't think about that.
Yeah. Dumb rich. Dumb rich.
I question every single one of the Shining Wizards' taste in women after what I
heard.
Wait
a second. Where's that coming from, dude?
After what I heard on Tuesday and even last Tuesday, I question their taste in women.
Wow.
I did not hear the show from last Tuesday, so please enlighten me.
Yeah, you're not.
These guys.
He said these guys.
These fucking guys.
What?
Sorry, if they're listening. Look,
don't be sorry. Now you put them on blast.
Don't sugarcoat it. You better say it.
These guys were disrespecting my boo Sasha Banks, and I don't like that.
Oh, that's why he's caught up.
Why?
Because she has a fucking forehead. You can watch a movie off of Rage.
Her forehead's not. There's nothing wrong with her forehead.
I want to get into Sasha Banks in a few minutes anyway.
Okay.
Because I want to get into the pay per view, and I want to get into everything about, you know, all the current shit, because we had
of course.
I do an Audible this week, and we were going to do a Saturday's main event, but we're not, because I'm on a Rick Rude fucking high right now, man.
Me too, bro.
So,
oh, my God.
So, you know, it is what it is. But anyway, yeah, so been a rough fucking week, man. We're getting more snow on Tuesday.
Yes.
My baseball draft is Sunday. I'm excited about that. My strat draft. I'm really excited about that.
Like, how terrible does Tim Tebow look?
I got it. Speaking of Tim Tebow, so, you know, the Mets are entertaining him, right?
They are.
People are like, he's going to make the club. He's not going to make the club. If he makes it to Brooklyn, and I was telling you this, if he makes it to Brooklyn, he's lucky. That's short A ball. It goes rookie ball, short stay, and then AAA to AAA, and then it goes major league. He's got about five or six steps before he even makes it, and he's not even there. They may bring him to Brooklyn just for fucking funsies, just to sell tickets. But they don't have to, because Cyclones sell good. You've been to the Cyclone Stadium, Rage. You've been to Cyclone Stadium?
I've been there once.
Okay, so it sells. It sells. It does.
Yeah, I mean, the environment it's in, yeah, of course it'll sell. I mean, yeah, but
you're on a boardwalk. It's 10,000 seats.
Tim is just there to sell tickets. Yeah. Period. End of story.
I had told you guys before that he's still young enough to go back to the NFL because he's only 29.
Yeah. And he hasn't played fucking baseball in like 10 years.
Exactly. Go back to football, man.
Listen, man.
But the problem is that, and this is the same argument that I get into people like Surfer and William Morgan with. They're constantly saying, oh, the boy can't throw, the boy can't throw. That's bullshit because it took one fucking throw to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime.
He won two playoff games.
He won one. Just one.
So he beat Pittsburgh. Right. Oh, he was playing for Denver, right?
Yeah,
he did good in Denver.
That dude carved up what was then the number one defense in the NFL. Like, I call bullshit on anyone that's sitting there saying, oh, Tim Tebow can't play in the NFL. Fuck that. The only problem is that teams like the Jets fucked him over. And we knew he couldn't be a backup in New England.
I want the dude to succeed so much because he's a good Christian guy. You don't hear a bad word about him.
He's not a bad guy. He's actually very nice.
You know what I'm saying? He's one of the nicest people on the planet. Apparently, he's one of these do-gooders. I'm all about that for the league, for any league, because guys right now, especially in the NFL, it's all fucking thugs. And junkies and degenerates and fucking criminals.
Yeah, let's not talk about Mr. Aaron Hernandez. I mean, that wonderful piece of shit he was.
No, we got Gronk on the fucking monster
Gronk can. Is great. I have nothing bad to say about Gronk. He's awesome.
Boy Bennett just went left. Your boy Bennett.
Which pisses me off.
Oh, boo-hoo-hoo.
No, don't say boo. You know where he went? I got to fucking deal with him twice a year.
Where'd he go?
We went to the fucking Packers.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Not kidding
you. So he leaves. Oh my god! So he leaves a chance to actually like go back to the Super Bowl to a team that.
Wait a second.
Yeah,
Green Bay is not a Super Bowl contender yet, bro. Easy.
No, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about a team that can actually that you can guarantee at least the AFC Championship game.
But the Patriots just made another trade. They picked up another tight end. Forgot his name.
They got him.
They just fucking traded for Cooks. They just traded. They just took the Saints' one of the best defensive players. So they're going to be good. I mean, listen.
They need to re-sign Dante Hightower.
Fuck the Patriots.
You sound like a hater right now.
Fuck the Patriots.
Pastor's in the room. What's up,
Pastor? I was just talking about you, man. Thank you for being in tonight, my friend.
Ring of Honor pay-per-view going on right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Anniversary show. Main event. Is the Briscoes and Bully Ray against the Bullet Club.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the main event was going to be Adam Cole.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's the other main event. Yeah. Yeah, wow.
That's insane.
Yeah. Speaking of Adam Cole, baby. We'll talk about Ring of Honor. Rage and I were there last week. But I saw Honor Rising on New Japan Network. And Adam Cole fought, what's his name? Yoshi-Ashi.
Okay.
Oh, man, what a match.
That was good.
Oh, my God. And then the Briscoes teamed up with Ospreay, and it was Will Ospreay and the Briscoes, and I think Jay Lethal against the Bullet Club. It was Cody, Kenny Omega, the Bucks.
Oh, man.
It was a fucking good match.
That sounds like a mega spot fest.
I mean, I love that.
It was a spot fest.
It was. You know what it is about Will Ospreay? I loved him when he did that match with Ricochet, but now he's like...
Listen... And I said this to him last week. I said this to Rage last week. I said, the spot shit is fun. Is fun.
It's fun for like a minute, and after a while it gets annoying.
So, hey, Surfer's in the room. What's up, Surfer?
Surfer, what's up, my friend?
Surfer woke up from his pancake coma.
Fuck him. Why are you saying fuck Surfer?
Why are you saying fuck Surfer for?
I hate Surfer.
What do you hate? You don't hate Surfer. You dislike that he picks on you. That's the big difference.
Surfer thinks he thinks he's my dad.
What are you gonna do if Choppy and I send for him?
Read this.
If you send for him here, then. If you fucking send for Surfer here,
what are you gonna do with Choppy and I send for Surfer to come up for Mania weekend? Because we want Surfer to come up.
There's gonna be broken shit.
You gonna break up Choppy's home?
Really?
Oh, no.
Ain't that some shit?
You gonna do that to me?
No, I'm just gonna.
Maybe we should keep your punk ass home then.
No.
Oh no.
Listen,
no.
Surfer is an intellectual.
Fuck that intellectual.
He's a man of respect. And you leave him alone.
Don't compare him to a man like Sandow. Fuck out
of here. Oh, my God. Surfer, you going to take that from him, man? You better... Mm-mm.
Surfer is a grumpy old. He's just a grumpy old braille, a bitter now, old fuck.
Now you sound like a hater.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Anyways, what were we even talking about before?
We were talking about the fucking football, and then we said hello to Surfer, and you fucking on my show, you're gonna destroy my man. So
still
get out of your fucking system now, you fucking.
You
miserable fucking millennial.
Fuck, just fuck.
Oh, that's right, you're a millennial.
Fuck Surfer.
Anyway, so Adam Cole, fighting tonight. He's defending the belt against
Daniels.
Christopher
Daniels.
Christopher Daniels. So that should be fun.
Oh no, Surfer wants to call in.
Oh come on!
No, please, no.
I'm gonna leave up Chop. You want to take his call?
No.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
All right, Surfer, you got the floor. Hurry up, call in.
Call in.
It's not every day Rage comes over.
Yeah,
it's
once in a
while. It's like a special event. I was so happy that when Rage said he was coming.
It's almost like a Saturday night's main event.
That we were going to do, we didn't do.
There it is. You know what? And I apologize to all the fans out there. I completely forgot we were doing a Rick Rude retrospective.
Yeah, and let me know when you're going to post the video, you know?
I apologize about that.
Yeah, because as always, you give me the fucking week off, and I didn't know. I didn't get the memo. Next time we have a secretary send me the memo. Speaking of secretaries, what did wifey say in that text message?
So we've been coming up with new nicknames for you, Rage.
Why?
Because if you lose, you're not going to be Rage anymore.
Remember? I know. I have different names I can call myself, but Rage is my brand.
It's not a brand.
Yeah, it is a brand.
He's a brand.
It is a brand.
You better copyright that shit.
He's a brand. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the line is the host of the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Surfer, what's up, my friend?
What's up, Surfer?
Good evening, fellas. I know y'all busy doing a quality show.
Get to it already, you grumpy old fuck.
You be quiet. Surfer, go ahead, man.
I keep trying to tell Rage, if he would spend a quarter of the energy he does trying to play the town fool into doing something constructive, then maybe his life would be on a better track. And he wouldn't be living in the basement of his mother or
basement.
His home, babysitting kids he don't want to babysitting and chasing cats out of his room.
Rage?
A rebuttal?
Rage?
Wow.
Surfer, he's speechless, Surfer. He's speechless.
This is precisely my problem with old...
As far as the Patriots, they let Bennett go because they still have Gronk.
I know.
Get rid of Gronk, they don't have a problem.
I never said they had a problem. I just, you know,
I'm talking Rage. You wondering why Bennett left. Bennett wanted to get paid. That's fine. You know,
I'm more pissed Bennett went to fucking Green Bay.
I know you are.
Maybe
the Patriots will meet Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
Let me say this while you're still alive to hear it. You're not my fucking dad, okay? You're not my dad.
Thank God.
When I make my mistakes, I can correct them, sir. And I have a room. I am not living in my basement like you are.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Surfer.
Yes.
I have, we've been coming up with some nicknames for Marquise over here.
You and Wifey.
Me and Wifey.
Okay. I want to hear this.
And if he loses the name Rage, these are the names we come up with.
Oh, here we go.
We've got Marquise.
Don't like that one.
And it's going to be Marquise my kneesy. Why do you make my arm so breezy?
I don't like that one.
He's going to lose these food eating contests because...
Shut the hell up. I won Sushi Slam and I won Castle Slam. So why don't you shut up, man?
Just Castle Slam. You really hold on to that.
Yes, I do.
And the other name I came up with last week was Marquise.
Marquise. That's my favorite.
I don't like that one either.
That's my favorite.
Marquise is great.
But my kids ain't. My kid can't say that.
Man, y'all call him a queef.
Yeah. Yep.
It's going to be a new name.
We got to come up with some names if he loses.
I have a name.
He doesn't know what a queef is, so.
Oh, boy.
This guy.
Virgin.
Yo, if you're going to make assumptions about me, make sure they're correct, because that was wrong.
Oh, boy.
I'll go, because I know you have important shit to do. But tell this boy to leave.
Please fuck off.
Keep him out of his mouth, and I won't have to chop his head off.
I can't wait till you come over. If, you know what? Bring Surfer here so I can legitimately kick his ass off.
If Surfer is well enough, he has an open invite. He knows. But we're trying to get him up here for Mania weekend.
He's not well enough. He can barely walk. He could barely walk. The guy's got fucking gout in both feet.
Kick my ass in what? You couldn't kick my ass in kicking my ass.
You saw his thighs? Look. Did you see Surfer's thighs?
Will you stop it. Surfer, you good for Sunday? You going to be on Sunday?
What's Sunday?
Your show.
Oh, yeah, I'm doing
Senility's not kicking in yet? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. Anything going on this weekend? Anything special on the show? Or just regular talk.
Just regular stuff.
Okay.
If you haven't heard my reviews of Logan and Kong, they're on the website.
Yeah, I saw them. I listened to Kong because I'm not going to see Kong right away, but I'm going to see Logan probably tomorrow. So I haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to go check it out tomorrow because the wife ain't going to be around. So I'm going to jump out and go to the movies and dip out and enjoy the night. So.
So you gentlemen have a good night. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, Surfer. We'll see you later.
Later.
Peace out.
Yeah, later, Surfer.
You know, you're an asshole.
God damn.
You really are an asshole.
Jesus Christ.
Spare checker.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so Rage and I went to ROH last week with the Domingos.
Yep.
And my cousin Anthony and my cousin Jimmy and the Hammer. And Rob got the fucking dopest seats. I'm so pissed. And he had two extra tickets because the Greeks tapped out.
Really?
Yeah, but you couldn't go.
I couldn't make it.
So the seats were right. It was the last row against the ramp where they come out
on the floor.
And the fucking seat. I didn't even know Rage was coming. I forgot he was coming. So, dude, we had the whole row outside of two seats.
Yeah.
And the kid was up against the fucking ramp, up against the... He was high-fiving, getting two sweets. He was trying to super kick Rob. He was out of his mind. Out of his mind excited.
That's awesome.
That guy was on cloud.
To see a little kid like that happy like that, that's a great
It almost
feeling.
Brought me to tears.
That's a great feeling.
It really almost it really brought is. Me to tears. I was like... He kept telling me it's the greatest night of my life. I said, dude, you told me that last month. He goes, no, this is the greatest night. Yeah, but you told me that in December. No, this is the greatest night of my life. He was in awe of everybody, you know? Wow. So when I sent you the video, right?
I know.
As soon as the lights went out, even before the music came on, he called it. You can hear him screaming, it's the Hardys. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, man.
And all of a sudden you hear, boop, boop, yeah. boop. I was like, oh, he was right. My cousin Anthony, who's never been to a live show.
Okay.
He's 30 years old, never been to a live show. He's been a fan his whole life. He was beside himself. He's like, I picked the best night to go. I'm like, you did.
Yeah, even I popped.
Well, you're a fucking Hardys, Mark.
No,
anyway.
I hate the Hardys now.
Bullshit.
You were fucking marking out for them in the final battle.
Dude, I wasn't expecting them.
No, he did not mark out, actually.
No,
actually,
I did not. I was like pissed. This fucking TNA
bullshit. Oh, I thought you marked out. I apologize.
Which I was kind of shocked. I was like, wait a minute, you love TNA.
Yeah.
No, that was Dixie Carter TNA.
By the way, speaking of the Hardy Boys, did you see... Okay. Impact.
I saw the video of how they got deleted. That I saw online. I didn't see Impact, though.
You didn't see the video of them wrestling a fucking kangaroo?
Smoking Joe Frazier?
No.
You have to watch!
That's what they're going.
Jeff Hardy and him wrestling First off, Matt Hardy dressed up like a fucking Egyptian god. And then Brother Nero wrestling a fucking kangaroo. And then the kangaroo gets him in a headlock.
That's crazy.
Oh, you have to watch it. That's crazy. It's so funny.
That's crazy.
After that, everything else was just shit.
Let me tell you, I was thoroughly happy. I'm not a Hardy fan at all. I never was. I don't hate them. I just never liked them. I appreciated them for the time, if that makes any sense to you. But when they showed up at Ring of Honor last week, I was like, whoa. And as soon as they showed up, I told Ray they're winning the belts tonight. And he was like, yeah, they are.
I was shocked.
I said, no, I said to you, absolutely. I'm like, they're winning the belts tonight. And they were supposed to be fighting WrestleMania weekend in Lakeland and down in Orlando.
Yeah.
Down by Tony C's place. Not too far from Tony C. And they had the match and they won the belts. And I was like, whoa. So here's how it's going to go down. I said, they're going to win the belts tonight and then drop them Mania weekend back to the Bucks. and then show up on fucking Raw the next night.
You think that's going to happen?
Unless something drastic happened and they're not going to, it would make perfect sense.
I could see that happen.
It'd make perfect sense. I mean,
I would love to see that happen.
Because you know what? At this point in the game, I think that and Bully Ray showing up at the end of the night threw us all off. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, that I was like...
popped hard.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, I see where Ring of Honor's going, you know? And they're in a transition now. They're owned by a media company. They're trying to get fans. They're trying to get more mainstream fans into it. And as much as I was never a Dudley's fan per se, I was a fan of that. And he marked, and I understood why. And I'm going to tell you why he marked out, and 2,000 people in their place went nuts. A, because they didn't expect it. Okay, which is cool because I love when you don't expect it. When you don't expect it, it's more genuine and it makes you appreciate what's going on.
Absolutely,
that's A. B. He's not a bad wrestler.
No, he's not.
No, he's not. Okay,
he's not a bad wrestler or a bad character.
So if the character is the character and they let him go, it's a perfect match. He's not going to have a spot fest, but he's going to tell a good story in the ring. And he's not, and he said in his promo, I'm not here for the fucking boys. I'm not some old veteran here to put guys over. That's exactly what he said.
Okay.
I'm here to fucking fight. Perfect. Thank you.
Nothing wrong with that.
So, you know what? That's good for me. I'm good with that.
The Hardy Boys? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think TNA has those type of contracts.
TNA pays their people like my wife gets paid in the restaurant business. They pay you like per diem. They pay you per show. You know, that's how they pay people in the restaurant business. They don't, you don't get a fucking salary unless you're management or something, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it is what it is. My issue, you know, with that is and then we get back to the Hardys, they've done everything. So why not give them one more run with this? They were shit for years. Jeff was the man. Matt couldn't get over. No, I mean, Jeff was the man in TNA. He wasn't. I'm not saying he was.
What years are you implying about?
In terms of what?
In TNA? In 2010. Matt Hardy was not over. It was Jeff who was over.
Okay, well, okay, yeah, okay.
That makes sense. Jeff had that major run in WWE, and he feuded with CM Punk.
CM Punk, Triple H.
Triple H, Edge, right?
A lot of guys.
And then he goes to TNA. And he becomes the man again.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I have no problem with.
Except for the way it ended.
Well, because it was shitty booking. You can't blame him for that.
And drugs.
Well, yeah, that's another thing, too. Yeah. So if they're in a place in their life where they're clean, and they can get away from his wife, because his wife's a dish rag. She can't keep her mouth shut.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree. I agree
so
with that.
So funny you brought that up. Go ahead.
Because she's trash, dude. No disrespect, but she's trash.
I kind of called her trash on Twitter.
She's done nothing. She's done nothing significant in wrestling but marry a Hardy. That's all she did. She was never a champion. She was never over in any league she wrestled in. She's a hot piece of ass.
She just got lucky
She's not even hot.
She was hot, dude. She was a piece back in the day.
Maybe back in the day, but now, fucking
hell. She got very lucky.
Like I said, she looks like the Pokemon Goldeen. She looks horrible.
See, I don't know Poke. You guys are Poke people.
Goldeen, I don't. Is that the fish?
Oh, yeah, with the horn.
Okay.
I have no fucking idea what you're talking about. Poke this.
That's why I asked you and Mrs. about...
Speaking of Japanese stuff, hold on a second. I was listening to BSB yesterday, Board Street Breakdown with Vinnie Paz, and they brought up Ultraman. Remember Ultraman?
Yeah, of course. What happened? What's going on?
No, I was like thinking about... They would talk about Shogun Warriors and Voltron and...
Oh, dude.
And someone brought up Ultraman. I'm like, I remember Ultraman.
Of course.
They used to be on with fucking Speed Racer and fucking G-Force, Battle of the Planets.
If you were about to tell me they're going to do an Ultraman movie...
No, like, no, I don't know anything about
that. Dude, that would be fucking dope.
Is Ultraman... You can find those episodes online, probably?
Yeah, of course you can.
I want to
come on Saturday mornings when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, when you were... Yeah, they brought it back, right? See? Fucking,
it was on...
fucking 90s were a blur. It was ECW and alcohol for me.
I watched cartoons and wrestling.
I did the same. Yeah.
But Voltron, if they brought back Voltron as like a live action film, oh my god!
It's bound to happen.
It has to.
I'm
watching Power Rangers regardless. So.
Oh god, so, I can't wait for that movie.
I know Phil doesn't care for it.
I have no. I don't listen. For me, it was too corny. Like it was too hokey.
Of course, it was. That's what made it great.
I couldn't appreciate it. People were marking out when I was a kid. When I was in my 20s, I'm like, oh, this is the greatest. I'm like, is it really?
Do you watch anime?
All the time. Why?
Do you watch Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex?
I did.
You're going to go see the movie?
Dude, I'm upset that it's a PG-13 rating.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm not feeling that. You remember Ghost in the Shell movie?
I know of it. I never.
Yeah, the original Ghost in the Shell movie was rated R, and this new one that's coming out with, what's her name, Scarlett Johansson? It's PG-13, and I'm really like, ugh, I don't even care about it.
People
anymore.
Should have no problem with that, by the way. Because I saw, there's no one else I could see her playing Major.
Eh.
No one.
I don't know. I can't. I don't have an opinion.
That's okay.
Yeah,
I wish I can. You guys can chat it up. I just don't have the fucking idea what you're talking about.
Wrestling.
So anyway, Ring of Honor was great. We're going back in May, late May, I think it is. Mm-hmm. Rob's gonna get tickets. You got to come back. It's you know, our thing now is NXT, but I think we're gonna just incorporate Ring of Honor every couple of months because it's fucking. It's just a good time.
Ring of Honor. It's cheap tickets, and you get a good. Great
it's
quality.
It's $10 in fees. Put it this way. The floor seats were the same fucking price as the seats we sat in the balcony.
You gotta be fucking... Whoa.
I'm not.
Whoa, are you serious?
Yeah, they were fucking $55 after the taxes.
Wow.
They rape you in fees, man. But for $55, you're on the floor.
Yeah, of course.
I'll take that shit.
So, so Mandingo's gonna get those tickets probably.
And not for nothing. I remember sitting on the floor area back in 2010.
Yeah.
And the ticket prices for the floor seating is really not that expensive for Ring of Honor, because I remember paying like $20 in 2010.
Right.
And for them to go up maybe like $30 is really not that bad. Still, $55 to be close to those superstars is great.
Exactly. You get that, and that's the one thing I can generally say about ROH, and hell, even TNA for that matter. You can get that interaction with the talent. You can't get it so much with WWE, and I understand why, but I just don't like it.
It's more of like an intimate setting. Like for example, you go to see the Roots in like a 50-person club, and it's a very intimate setting.
I saw the Roots in Nassau Coliseum open for the Beastie Boys.
They're so good. Oh my god!
Yeah, the Roots were good. Good band. The good band live. Love I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your point.
And I compare that setting to like what Ring of Honor is. It's more of an intimate setting.
Same thing with ECW.
And ECW as well, correct.
Right. They had the small venues, like in Queens, they had Lost Battalion Hall, they had the Rec Center.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, shit like that.
And I commend Ring of Honor for making it more personable for the fans as well, so that way you can get that interaction with the superstars, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Hell, we were practically sitting behind Dalton Castle and all of
that.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool. Yeah, Dalton Castle is one of my favorites.
He fought Colt Cabana again.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think he's fighting for a title shot tonight, for a TV title shot.
He needs a TV title. He's really good.
We talked about that. Listen.
Marty Scurll is another good guy.
Oh, though. My God.
So good.
He fought, who did he fight, Rage? Who did Marty Scurll fight?
Damn. Who the hell?
I know Dragon Lee fought was it Will Ospreay?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, Dragon Lee fought Will Ospreay, I think.
That was a good match.
Was it? No, wait. The hell was it? I forget who Marty Scurll fought, but he's a good talent, man.
So good.
I really can't remember at this
point. Anyway, so yeah, it was a good night. You missed out. Please try not to miss out again.
No, next one I'm going. I'm definitely going next one.
All right, so did you see Fast Track? Fast Break?
I saw some of it, yes.
Yeah, you saw it? You saw it, didn't you?
What is it?
Fastlane. Fast Break.
Oh, Fastlane. Yes.
Fast Break, Fast Track, X-Lax, whatever.
I fell asleep on it.
That was.
I don't blame you.
I fell asleep
on it. Who the fuck blames you?
The kid didn't even watch it.
That was one of the worst shows.
It was like watching Monday Night Raw, dude.
The kid was like, nah. I said, dude, I'm here for you. You want to watch it? And he goes, wait a minute. Surfer has the DVD collection of the first Ultraman.
Really? Wow, dude.
See, Surfer, now you have to come for a visit, because then when you come over, I can take them and take them while you're sitting here, and I can back them up to my hard drive. Surfer, if you're listening, man, you need to come visit us and bring that fucking box set.
Do it.
Anyway, so moving right along. So I fell asleep on it, man. And I went back and watched it. We knew it was going to happen.
Didn't I tell you?
I fucking called it. You did. You absolutely called it. What'd you say?
I just had it on in the background. I didn't really pay attention to it.
The kid left me, man. The kid flat left me.
I don't blame... Like, dude, that was one of the... That was probably one of the worst shows of the year. Easily.
Answer me this. Yeah. And let's talk about the women for a second. And I said this on the pre-show. I said, every time the women's match happens, somebody has to cry. Why is Charlotte crying? Why do they cry after every fucking match? It chaps my asshole.
That's the same thing that Don Tony was saying. Every time they either win or lose, they're always crying.
Yeah, he's right.
What the fuck for?
It's not a mania moment. It's just a fucking fast lane.
But they get brought up, and it's like, I'm done. Like, listen, it's not. I could see if it was just Charlotte. He's like, oh, well, it's like her dad. Her dad cries all the time now because he's old. But it's not just her. Bailey cries. Forehead Sasha Banks cries. Fucking Becky cries. They all cry except Alexa Bliss doesn't cry. But she didn't cry yet. Yeah, Dana Brooke don't cry yet either.
Because she's absolutely garbage.
That's a man, baby.
The only thing I can say about Fastlane is that Charlotte lost because I could not fucking stand how they were booking Charlotte.
She's gonna get more titles than Flair by the time she retires.
And that's what pisses me off is that it is so blatantly obvious what WWE is doing. They're trying to book her to mimic her daddy's career, and I just don't agree with that.
Well, listen, I don't care if they do that. My thing is, why do you have to cry after every match? Is it your last match? Are you retiring? Are you leaving? Like, no one cares anymore. WrestleMania, if it's SummerSlam, if it's Survivor, if it's a big deal, if it's a big event, and you want to let your emotions out.
Not even Summer. No,
it's, I'm just saying, if it's the Big Four, if you want to let your emotions out, if it's your first big match, let it out.
If I was a woman and I won the title at Mania, that's when I'd cry. Because it's WrestleMania.
But I'm just sick of the nonsense.
But,
man.
Like, for example, I agree with Phil. Like, for example, when we saw NXT TakeOver, the Iron Woman match.
Yes.
That was the perfect time to cry.
Right, exactly.
It's not a minimal match like the one they had at Fast Track. Exactly.
Fast Track.
I called it Fast Break last week.
It fucking sucked.
If my issue with that was my issue. My issue was with Sasha beating the bulldozer that is Nia Jax. Like, I would have had her lose.
Me too.
And then build her up like Davey and Goliath. Exactly. And have a win at Mania.
Yep, I agree.
I would have just threw all four of them in a fatal four.
That's another thing, Rage. Why?
Too many fatal four.
How many three ways and fatal four ways are you going to have? Like, you're not telling me a story like that anymore, though.
Yeah, I mean, but this is just the way I saw it. I thought it would make a lot more sense if you just had, because all four of them interacted in a way in the last few weeks or so. So it's like, just throw them in a fatal four way at Mania. I know we are all tired of it.
I think it's inevitable that I feel like it's going to be Bayley versus Nia Jax for the women's title at WrestleMania, because I feel like it's getting set up somehow for that. I feel like Nia Jax is going to get that title soon.
I could see that, yeah.
I can see that happening.
Now, everybody has to have their moment.
I've been saying for a while that they should book Nia Jax as like the female Brock Lesnar.
As this
badass chick that can't be beat.
But she's not even badass.
You know, like, what? She can't talk. She's nice on the eyes.
She's cute. She's not an ugly girl.
She can definitely get it. That, and then the other thing is too is, it's like Rach said, then she should be a monster. The music is terrible.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Give her.
Remember what's her name's Kong's music
or Bull Nakano? Like, give her something like
give
that,
her to,
man.
Give her to Mia's music.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know which match really caught my eye was Braun and Roman Reigns.
Let's get to that too.
That match was really good.
I enjoyed that.
That was the match that made me fall in love with Braun Strowman.
What did I tell you?
But you know what, though? Let's give Roman Reigns a little credit here.
He was good. Yeah, no.
And this is for the fucking naysayers, man. The dude can work.
That's what I tell. I'm not a fan of his character, but I told you guys that he can wrestle.
He's going to... Listen, there's certain things that when they see something in someone, they shove it down your throat. They did it with Cena. They did it with Hogan. They did it with Brett. They did it with Shawn. They shove it down your throat.
I don't know about Brett. I think
Dude, he was the company was on dire straits, and he fucking carried that company.
No.
Come on, dude. He was world champion.
In WCW or
WWE? No, WWE. I'm talking about
WWE. Okay. But I didn't feel that way at all.
Well, because you were fucking 7 years old too. You know. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I was 9 years old.
Okay, you were nine. I'm sorry.
I vividly remember this.
Okay.
Schematics.
Okay.
It kept hopping around between Yoko and then him. And then it went to Shawn.
But they shoved it down. Not as much as Cena, not as much as Hogan, obviously. Yeah. But it's the same thing. When you're the guy, they're going to make it their business to shove it down your throat.
Okay.
No matter how you slice it, okay? Braun Strowman is a beast.
Love him.
I'm a fan. I think he could be the future of the company.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you really don't hear him talk.
Which is great. Why do we need him to talk?
No, I'm just saying if he's gonna evolve as a character, he's gonna have to eventually either say something or get a mouthpiece.
Yeah,
maybe an advocate. Maybe.
Ha.
Maybe you turn Brock face after Mania, and have Strowman.
Oh, that would be a badass match.
I do have some good ideas once in a while. Not very often, but I do.
But when Braun threw Roman's ass in that
fucking that spear up, though,
yeah,
that spear that was great.
That shit was like, wow.
I enjoyed it. So at least we could take something away from Fast Break that was okay, right?
No, I really enjoyed that match.
That was a good match. I enjoyed that.
I loved it. Now, what aggravated the fuck out of me was the main event. Why did it have to be a minute and 22 seconds?
Do you know, after doing the math, and I didn't do the math, I think Kevin Castle, one of them did it, I forget, that since Goldberg's been back, he's wrestled a total of about 6 minutes.
I believe it. Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah.
He's wrestled 6 minutes.
And you want to know why?
Go ahead.
I'll tell you why. Because apparently the officials, the WWE officials, do not want him to wrestle that much because they're afraid that he's going to get injured before Mania.
So why the fuck are you here, and why are you throwing the belt on him?
Thank you.
Well, because they told him he can have it.
That, like, I had no words after that match was over because, it was funny and all. It was cute, you know, the first time, but I expected a match. I expected something. Even if it wasn't the best of matches, I expected to be some sort. I expected to be some sort of fight happening, and to get that, and to give it, and then to do it to, of all people, Kevin Owens. That's what disappoints me the most.
You built this guy since fucking September when he got the belt, only to drop it in a minute and 22 seconds? Come on, man.
And then after that, I immediately said this, and of course people are going to disagree, but look, say whatever you want about CM Punk, he was right.
See, he was right about what? The direction of the company?
The direction of the company, and B, how part-timers are being treated.
All right, well, first of all, that was never an argument.
Yeah.
My beef with Punk is, and it's always been, is, I don't like what's going on, so now I'm going to start blaming people for certain things, and I'm just going to walk, and he just needed an excuse to fucking walk away. You know, he's going to blame the doctor for the staph infection, but he still wrestled. He's going to blame the fucking officials. He's going to blame the booking committee. He's going to blame Triple H.
Yeah, I listened to it again on the way here, and, you know, when you're saying that, it does make some sense, but still, you can't deny that when it comes down to what's going on right now, he's absolutely right.
I didn't give him wrong.
Yeah,
I gave him wrong for the way he dealt with it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a fan, dude. I was a fan just as much as you are. I love him. I think PMA and hardcore music, I was all into. I was invested. Totally invested. However, his character was great. I loved him. Dude had a fucking mad ball jacket at the Rumble when I went to the Rumble. That was so dope when he came. Mark, so hard for that. Last time I jumped out of my seat and screamed like a fucking, I was on a New Kids concert. But I don't care anymore. I've accepted what the company has become. It almost had to evolve the way it is. Everybody's an armchair quarterback. Everybody has a quick fix. We can all sit here and go, I can fix that. He could do this, this, and this. It may not work. It may work. You never know. You're never going to know. What I could tell you is that they need to be more efficient with booking. Give me the 50-50 booking back and give me better representation of these badass characters. The Nia Jaxes of the world, the Roman Reigns of the world, the Braun Strowmans of the world. Now Bray Wyatt finally has the belt, finally has something going on. You know, they're going to have a massive swap in June when they do the trade, when they do the draft.
Another one?
They're going to do one every year,
yeah, dude. They're going to do one every year, dude.
But that's fine. You throw AJ back on Raw, put some respect. Well, first of all, Raw needs respectability. If that's your flagship state, if that's your flagship show, it's got to have stability. It's got to have something more significant. You have to put something back into that. When your B show is destroying your A show inadvertently, that's a fucking problem, dude. That's a problem.
But see, that kind of worries me. I see where you're going with it, and trust, I agree with it. But at the same time, I don't know if the talent that's on, if some of the talent that's on SmackDown, if you throw them on Raw, I don't know if it's gonna translate exactly the same. You know what I mean?
You want to know something? You know what's the problem with Monday Night Raw?
Which one?
The main problem is that they're so bent on becoming so relevant in media that they've forgotten what's a good storyline.
I agree.
Okay,
always want to be relevant with the mainstream media.
Right,
If you don't get the proper storylines around your superstars, how the fuck are you going to be relevant within the media?
Don't be sorry. That's fair.
The way I feel, and that's just truth.
That's fair. You know, but like I said, when your B show is whooping your A show,
it's a problem.
And I'm not saying whipping it in ratings. I'm talking whipping it in story, whipping it in fan base.
In all aspects.
And I called that.
You did?
Even before it happened. I said, once they do the brand... I can't even talk. I sound like Bowman. Once you do the brand split, I said, watch SmackDown simplify things and whoop ass, and they have been.
But you want to know why? There's another reason why SmackDown is better? 2 hours.
Well, that's what Rage said. Rage just said what Raw is too long. It's too fucking long. He's right.
It is.
He's right.
The problem is that they're never going to get rid of that third hour.
They're not, because USA's paying them a lot of money for that.
Yeah.
Shaylin says, by the way, Shaylin, I'm wearing my Wu-Tang shirt tonight.
Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck
that's
with.
That's right, it ain't. Raw's in need of stability. No wonder SmackDown's kicking more ass than Raw. It's the truth.
It's the truth.
It's the truth, baby. It's definitely the truth. I agree with you. But that's it. That's pretty much where we stand with that. I could tell you that the next couple of weeks between us and the other shows, I got some stuff cooking. I hope it works out. Starting next week, and we'll get into next week's show. We have a really cool show next week. St. Patrick's Day, so we're going to have a good time. But I'm so excited for Mania now.
Me too.
I am so excited for everybody getting together. I'm excited that we're going to be running it in terms of the rant. I'm excited that you know, we're going to be a unit again, a family. We're going to bug out, and we're going to see hopefully some good stuff. I always have this this optimism for Mania. There's only been about two or three Manias that were bad in the last decade, like bad. You know. You can't.
29 was terrible.
You can't, 29 I was there.
27.
Me too. I was there.
You can't tell me that every Mania now is, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. There's always a lot of good stuff. And the Hall of Fame class is so good this year, man. The Rock and Roll Express, Rick Rude, Beth Phoenix. Who else? Kurt Angle. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so, I mean...
There's a lot of good people on there.
Right. But it's going to be soaked the whole weekend. And we have stuff hopefully lined up with that. I don't want to talk about it yet until we know it's official. But we got stuff cooking for the show. And it's going to be good times, man. You know? It's going to be good times. Now, what time is it? We got enough time. You, Mr. Fucking Rage. Mr. I'm throwing demands on social media.
Which were
fair. What the fuck was up with that?
Now, let me before you fucking get on your soapbox, let me just premise this now. So Rage decides that he's gonna agree to the gauntlet against Aleen and Rob, right? and it's all set. The contracts are being officially written up, not this bullshit from last time, right?
Correct.
So now, as it's going on, Genius decides he's going to fucking post a bunch of demands. Like, he wants tickets to this, he wants meals, he wants rides, he wants blah, 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 blah. Now, again, wasn't part of the deal. Your deal was if you won, you got your redemption with Dave, which was what we were striving for, which is what we were going for. You asking for things now, this late in the game, is like kind of like getting, you're trying to get like an insurance policy, which you don't need. You don't need any of this stuff. All you need to do is win, get Dave back at SummerSlam at my new house, and win and get your fucking retribution. You don't need t-shirts and meals and rides, which you'll get anyway, because you get this stuff anyway.
The only reason, really, why I even did it, A, it was kind of a quasi-joke, and B, because I felt like if he could throw out a bunch of demands for when I lose, I felt like it was only fair I give some. Now, everyone can sit there and say, oh, I'm in no place to do it. I felt like I was in a very good place to do so. I mean, yeah, we pretty much, well, you know what, look, y'all can say whatever you want about CastleSlam. I still want it, whatever. But I feel like I beat Elaine fair and square. This whole thing shouldn't even really be happening. But you know what? If everyone is in such desperate need for me to lose, then fuck it. I'll do it. I'll do it. Fuck. I'll take David's stupid little fucking demands.
Fuck it.
And I'll win. And I'm pretty sure Dave's gonna pussy out of it like he did when I beat Elaine the first time.
Fuck it.
So bottom line is I'll do it. It'll happen Mania weekend, and that's all I'm gonna say on the matter.
Well, listen, I'm gonna tell you that you're wrong. Dave's not backing out. That's number one, because I know Dave. That's number one. Number two, the whole reason why you're doing this is to get Dave. You beat Elaine, and you beat Elaine fair and square, and I backed you on that. I backed you on that because they didn't tell you, oh, you had to use chopsticks. Okay, which technically you both should have had chopsticks, but you didn't. I mean, but no one said anything. I'm not giving you wrong. What I'm saying is you won, and no one takes that away from you. I want to talk about CastleSlam. I don't give a shit about CastleSlam. MegaSlam, whatever the fuck you want to call it. MegaSlam and CastleSlam, I don't care. I'm talking about what's going to happen at WrestleMania. You're going to walk in. You're going to get these two goons. You're going to win. Well, we can hope. Oh, honestly, I have to root for you.
Are you backing me?
No, I'm rooting for you because I want you to get to Dave. We want you to get to Dave.
This is the perfect underdog story, by the way.
I'm just so tired of this. Like, I'm ready to do this now.
Right.
And I'm just sick. I'm sick of the fact that this is even happening because of three people's two people's butthurtness.
Rage. It's not even mean butthurt. You say things sometimes on the air, and you put yourself in situations that you leave yourself open for stuff to happen. So if you're gonna be this over the top fucking guy and you're gonna run your mouth and say shit on the air, it's gonna bite you in the ass. Or as Shaylin's saying in the chat room, it's gonna blow up in your face. You know? And it's not like a thing where, you know, people don't dislike you because you're getting people that you got Hightower backing you, Nick German suplexes backing you. Nick
German, Hightower, Brian Maiden.
Brian Maiden's backing you, Iron.
Phil Dennett and
Philly
Rex.
D. Right. So you have your peoples, right? The thing is, it's like Choppy said, it's if you just shut the fuck up and do your thing. Seriously, this is me.
Don't placate me.
Oh. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong.
I just sometimes it's really hard for me to shut the fuck up because I just like
you I understand know, that
I. It's not even a character rage thing. It's not even a character. Like literally, this is how I am.
I used to be absolutely. You. I used to be everybody. You. Rage, no rage. I used to be you, and I understand what you. I can understand where you're coming from because I used to be you. So the old Phil is now the older Phil telling the young Rage to STFU. You know what I'm saying? Shut the fuck up. Take this like a man, and then when you fucking win. On April 2nd, then you can gloat all you want. You can fucking carry on. You can wear a fucking crown and a cape and walk around the village and not be the village idiot anymore. You know, because we're a big village now. And a lot of people listen. And a lot of people are invested emotionally in this bullshit nonsense fucking eating contests. Okay? Which is baffling.
Yeah,
man.
No.
Okay? It's taking a life of its own to the point where families are getting involved. Like, my family's invested. Chobby's family's invested. Our fans are invested. Our peers are mainly invested. Other networks, other shows are invested. Like, it began a life of its own. All you need to do, if you really want this to happen, is to shut the fuck up, take their demands, go in there, whoop some ass, and get Mega Powers like, in August.
Like I said, I'll take the pussy's demands. I'll take them all. If it means that much for the Mega Pussy to watch
me.
Okay, that's fair. But it's what you want. If you want this to happen, you got to go with their rules. You have to. If you want Dave that if you don't want Dave that bad, then dead it. Then seriously,
I'll,
dead
I'll
it.
Fuck it. No. I'll fucking take it. And Surfer can kiss the darkest part of my black ass.
think of this as the Daniel Bryan story. You're Daniel Bryan, and you're going up against Randy Orton. You got to run through the gauntlet, man.
You're calling him Randy Orton?
Why not?
That's offensive.
Why?
Because Randy Orton has talent.
Wow, bro. Come on. But just, I think you have a shot, man.
I know I have a shot. I mean, this is going to be fucking tough. This is going to be tough.
At least you admit it's going to be tough.
But this is going to be challenging, like extremely challenging, because we're dealing with, like, we're dealing with fucking.
By the way,
we're dealing with hell food right here.
By the way, my wifey and I got 3 buckets over there just in case.
Yeah. I'm not going to puke.
Not puke.
Either way, I think if you, in your heart. Because you were winning, you were beating Dave. Everybody saw it, and you ate too fast, and Dave took advantage of that. He was at a steady pace, you know, and he won. You were up by at least a slice and a half, okay. And you know this.
And I took that strategy with me. To Sushi Slam, and that's right. Why I won. I ate extremely slow,
and you did well.
And I picked it up, and I picked up the speed towards the end. But you know, people can't let shit go.
No, dude, they're butt hurt.
Exactly.
Okay, so now So now you walk in and win. Shut them up, because now if you win now, they have nothing to say, Rage.
Oh.
They have nothing to say, Rob. If Rob and Elaine lose to you, and they're sticking up for Dave because that's Dave's their boy, obviously.
It's not, but dude, it's not even Elaine. Like Elaine. No, took
but
it like
but
a man.
But Elaine, like, but Elaine is invested now.
Yeah.
So Elaine wants redemption. Rob does not want. See, Elaine wants redemption. Rob does not want you to get to Dave. And it tells a good story. So now you have to. Now it's almost like you have to walk in there and fucking win. Okay? And if you don't win, that's it. It's done. You take the fucking. You take your lumps and we dead it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't want you to call into fucking rant anymore. Don't call into Morgan's show about it. We're not going to do it on this show anymore.
They got it. They're throwing. That's part of their demands. I can't be on the air for 30 fucking days.
I'm talking about beforehand. I'm talking about between now and Mania.
Oh, that's the plan. I'm not going
to. Up until when. The only other time we're bringing this up is when we sign the contracts. That's it.
When are we signing contracts?
Well, Elaine is away on vacation. He's back, not this week, next week. So I think I have to. I'll speak to AA over the weekend. We'll figure it out.
I didn't call myself Daniel Bryan. That was choppy.
Yeah, choppy did.
Yeah, I did.
I'm CM Punk.
Okay, you're never mind.
Don't even do it.
Okay, listen. It's after 10 o'clock. Let's take a quick break. Rage is in studio with us. Castle Slam. The gauntlet has been thrown down. This is it. Rage, you're in. You're invested. This is it. No bullshit. No demands. No t-shirts. No meals. No fucking rides. No rim jobs. No reach arounds.
I can use a reach around and a rim job.
Okay, well, you get one at the ferry from the fucking bums. We drop you off over there, right?
Yeah.
Maybe if Dairy Queen's open, you can get one at the Dairy Queen.
Ooh,
yeah.
From who?
Stop it, you.
The Dairy Queen people.
That's
who?
It.
Containing who? Well, listen, it's your business. I don't give a fuck where you get it from.
I know I'm bi, but I like women.
On that note, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. We are live on the rant. Phones are going off. Everybody's having a good time. People are listening in. Rage is Mark Henry Jr., not CM Punk. Right, Rob, ring the bell, Choppy. At least my boys are listening.
Fuck you, Rob.
Shout out to Rob, Thumbstick Ninjas. New episode this week. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man. Listen, we're live. We're coming back. Let's take a quick break. Wet the whistle. And get Rage's reach around at Dairy Queen. All right. We'll be right back. Lord Alfred Hayes, take us home, Daddy-O.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh, my God. I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
That chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political gobbledygookery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You can join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Our back, a lot of very confident individuals here in the World Wrestling Federation. One that comes immediately to mind is Ravishing Rick Rude. Now, recently, he had a pose down with the Ultimate Warrior, And I think we all know who was announced the winner. Ravishing Rick Rude refuses to believe that. He still believes he has the best body in the WWF.
Hi there, fellas. Remember me? If you don't, just go into the kitchen, get your old lady out, and she'll tell you who I am. She'll tell you I'm the sexiest man alive, Ravishing Rick Rude. And how do I know this? Not just because your old lady tells me this, but because I put the Ultimate Warrior to shame in the Super Post Down. And it won't be long before you see the sexiest man alive with a title belt around his sexy waist. And as for you ladies wondering about the Rude Awakening, I have raised my standards. I now come to town with a pair of size 5 Calvin Kleins and a 36 Double D. And if you don't fit the mold, don't dream of the Rude Awakening.
Comments from Ravishing Rick Rude quick to list his attributes, which include not only having the best body in the World Wrestling Federation, but let's not forget the sexiest man alive. Action Smash of Demolition, the tag team champions, and they intend to stay that way.
Oh, fools, this dude.
Yeah, man.
Yo. All
right, so I guess everybody... I'm getting texts from Mr. X.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Getting texts from Nick German Suplex.
Oh, my God. It's
everybody's listening in. The whole crew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say what's up to everybody. Thank you so much for listening tonight. We're back. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We're on a rant. So, I do an audible because... He's long overdue anyway, even if he wasn't going into the Hall of Fame. But Rick Rude was announced. It was announced Rick Rude's going into the Hall of Fame. Ricky Steamboat's inducting him.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
He should have been in there 10 years ago.
And I'm going to say this again. Everybody's going to get in.
They are, of
like,
course.
Everybody's getting in. Like, it's not a thing where... It ain't like a sports Hall of Fame.
I hope.
Except for Benoit.
I hope, sorry, man. But because... The whole Beth Phoenix thing, you know what? I truly feel like she just has not done enough to put her in the Hall of Fame, and I think it's yet another way for WWE to justify not putting Chyna in.
They're not going to put Chyna in because A, she just died of a drug overdose. That's A, okay? Not even a year ago. That's A. And B, you know, it's politics. She's married to Edge. She did a lot in a short period of time, and that's why she's in. Do I agree with it? No, I don't agree with it.
I think Ivory should have went in. I think Bull Nakano should go in. A lot of guys, a lot of women should go in.
Listen, I'm a Molly Holly mark.
Molly Holly should
I think Molly Holly should go in.
She should have definitely went in.
Who's Beth Phoenix?
The Mandingo is in.
The Mandingo is in the building.
Glamazon?
No, he's being facetious, Rage. Yeah. I think he knows who Beth... He just wasn't watching wrestling when...
Glamazon.
And listen, for the people who don't know the inner workings of the crew, this little contest we have going on with the boys, it's just a contest. We're all family. We're crew.
Yeah, your marks.
Yeah, there's not, you know, so anybody who thinks that this is like there's real like legitimate heat, there's no heat on Rage.
No, it's all camaraderie right here.
Yeah, it's all love, man. This is a tight knit group that we have here. Rage is just a village idiot that
can't
keep his mouth shut.
I'm not a village idiot. I'm just a villain that is loved and hated.
He's a villain.
I'm a villain. I'm a true. I define what it means to be a heel.
You're a bag of douche. That's what you are.
Wait a minute.
I'm a heel.
Where's my soundboard? Because Chubby gave him the fucking. The honest look.
What did you say?
That's exactly the look. I never seen that look before in my life.
What did you say?
That's exactly what he wanted to say to Rage.
I'm the bad guy.
All right,
Razor, relax.
Razor Ray, the King of Bacon.
I am the King of Bacon.
Oh my God.
It's right here, my nigga.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. What the fuck are you doing?
The fuck are you doing? Oh, my God.
Anyway. Oof. Anyway, let's get that out of the way, first of all. So, yeah. And if you're going to belch, let me know.
You fucking farm animal. Get out of here.
I said, excuse me.
I was going to say, how much diet soda did he drink before he belched it? Sorry. Let's talk about Ravishing Rick Rude, shall we?
Yes, please.
I don't know a lot about him.
What? Well, you're going to know Rick Rude, and Rude is his real name, actually.
Yeah,
R-O-O-D.
It really is. R-O-O-D. Yeah, you're right.
He was born Rick Rude, R-O-O-D, 6'3", 251 pounds, from Robbinsdale, Minnesota.
Same school as Mr. Perfect, Kurt Henning.
And Brady Boone, Nikita Koloff, yep. John Nord the Barbarian, Barry Darso, a.k.a. Smash.
And the Z-Man.
And the Z-Man, Tom Zink. He was best friends with Kurt Henning, and they were childhood friends. Got a degree in phys ed at the local college that he went to, grew up. He got trained by Eddie Sharkey, which Eddie Sharkey trained a bunch of those guys.
Yeah, L.O.D.
L.O.D., Barry Darso.
Yep.
Wrestled in 82 as Ricky Rude.
He was a babyface at first.
Lost his TV debut against number one Paul Jones. A lot of people didn't know that.
Yeah.
Started with Vancouver's NWA Wrestling, moved to Georgia.
I didn't know about the Vancouver part.
It was called All-Star Wrestling.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Like, it was territory. It was, you know, it was NWA Canada, you know.
I didn't know he wrestled in Canada. That's why.
He did. Yeah, he did. And
that's
awesome. He moved to Georgia, and then, of course, Memphis, which is CWA.
I know he dabbled a little bit in Mid-South, because I saw the Mid-South
debut. Yeah, he went to Mid-South, but I want to talk about when he debuted in Memphis. People forget, he had a sick missile dropkick, and you actually see it against the Ultimate Warrior at some point.
Yes, when he
wins the IC title, and we'll play that in a few minutes. I downloaded a bunch of clips, and we'll get into his career in a minute. And his part of his career in a minute anyway.
Shaylin, that was Rage who said he didn't know
what?
Who
said that?
Was.
That wasn't me.
What happened?
Shaylin was like, who does not know about Rick Rude? What's wrong with you?
That wasn't
Rick,
me.
Rick Rude is, Rage is also a young man. So
that wasn't me.
Yeah, Rage.
That was not me.
Rage is like 18 or 17 years old.
Don't listen to Chubby. That wasn't me.
Breaking kayfabe, Mr. Age, he says. Ring the bell. Ring the bell.
Oh, boy.
He stinks, and I don't like him.
So...
I heard the retards like the zoo.
Oh, no, I'm on the plane.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, so he goes to Memphis, and he then joins the NWA, Jim Crockett, and he feuds with the Raw Warriors, and that didn't work out. He had a bunch of different partners. Goes back to Memphis, gets the Ravishing Rick Rude, arrogant heel, managed by Jimmy Hart.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jimmy Hart had heat with Lawler in Memphis, we all know that. So now he's feuding with Jerry Lawler and his former tag team partner, King Kong Bundy, who he teamed up with in Mid-South.
Yeah.
So, where he got between, I'm sorry, what the fuck am I doing? Between Florida was where he got his tell me I fucked this up already. Florida is where he got his balls. All right, fuck it. Is where he got his real licks.
Yeah.
Managed by Percy Pringle, a.k.a. Paul Bearer.
Yep.
Right? And he beat Pistol Pez Whatley when Pistol Pez Whatley when Pistol Pez wasn't a jobber. He won the NWA Florida Southern Championship, and he lost to beat Brian Blair. Blair was a big deal in Florida before he became...
Really?
Yeah, he wrestled for the Grams for a minute before he became the Killer Bee.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So that's when Vince was cherry-picking motherfuckers, you know? And then he beat Mike Graham in a tournament for the belt. He then lost it to Wahoo. He won the U.S. Tag Team Championship with Jesse Barr. And Jesse Barr, I believe, is...
No relation to Art Barr.
No, Jesse Barr was... Hold on a second. He was Jimmy Jack Funk.
Okay, gotcha.
Remember Jimmy Jack Funk?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then they feud with Billy Jack Haynes and Wahoo, and they got, and you know, it went back and forth and back and forth. World Class, him and Percy go to World Class.
That was classic.
Right. They go to World Class and they feud with the Von Erichs right away. Well, Von Erich and Chris Adams.
Yes.
Right? And he wins their, right off the bat, he wins their fucking heavyweight, the American heavyweight title.
Which then turns out to be, he becomes the World Heavyweight Championship by, what's his name, Ken Mantell.
Right. Well, what happened was, WCCW withdrew from the NWA in 86.
Yep.
He went in 85, changed his name to World Class. The American Championship was renamed, like Choppy said, the World Heavyweight Championship. And Rude was still holding the title. As a result, Rude became the promotion's technically the first world champion.
Yep.
Which works out. This is the second time it happened to him. And we'll get into the Flair thing in a few minutes.
Correct.
But he loses the belt to Chris Adams in 86, fires Percy. Brings in his sister Raven. They form a short-lived tag team, and then with the Dingo Warrior, who's the Ultimate Warrior, and he turns on him.
Yeah,
and they have a fucking feud. Now, here's where I knew about Rick Rude, because I didn't know about Rick Rude. When he was in World Class. I only saw like the what do you call it? It's the what you the ESPN gimmicks they had, right? Yeah. He goes to Jim Crockett in '86, and him and the Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, right? Yep. Now, check this out, Rage. Manny Fernandez and Rick Rude were managed by who he first feuded with, Paul Jones.
Paul Jones.
Right? And they had a fucking, they were called the Awesome Twosome. They won, they beat the Rock and Roll Express for the titles. And then Rude left in April of 87 to go to WWF.
Yeah.
So, in the sudden departure, Jim Crockett had a pre-taped non-title match where the Express defeated Rude and Fernandez and claimed that Rude was injured. So, there you have it. Now, there's not a lot of footage unless you have the fucking, there's not a lot of footage of Rick Rude. What the fuck is that noise? I'm sorry. It's dragging against the net.
Yeah, it's.
So, the thing, you know, there's so much to, I mean, you can go on the premise that he basically had success everywhere he was.
Lots of it.
Even as a jobber.
Yep.
Okay? But his real success, like the notoriety came in 1987 when he debuted as the Bobby Heenan Family. I have a bunch of clips here I'm going to play. Let me see here.
Please do.
Yes, I'm going to play his debut right now.
Six-man tag team match scheduled for one fall. Introducing in the ring to my left, at a total combined weight of 718 pounds, introducing first from Milford, Connecticut, Mario Mancini.
Wow.
His partner from Portland, Oregon, Rick Hunter.
From the famous Hunter family.
From yeah.
Haven, Connecticut, Gary Allen. And their opponent.
I remember this too. Oh my god.
You know, Bobby Heenan not only is a manager, he's a very accomplished wrestler too, you know.
I have a very important announcement I'd like to make right now.
Let's listen up.
You know, for the last couple of months, I have been quite in agonizing pain because of what that miserable ex-con Ken Patera tried to do to my head, my neck, and tried to take my head.
Oh my god!
There is a new member of the Bobby Heenan family. And as I no longer am going to concern myself, although I'm still in extreme pain, I have confidence that this man will make sure that nobody lays a hand on me. So I can take this off now. I'd like to introduce
the newest member of the Bobby Heenan family. Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the ring.
That wasn't me. That was the tape.
At 255 pounds, I'm proud to have in the family Ravishing Rick Rude.
Ravishing Rick Rude.
You hear Ventura clapping?
So yeah.
Look at him.
You know, can you imagine guys
the
like
featherettes
that
are fainting outside the ring right now? You don't see them.
Right now, if I may, I'd like to have all the lizard-looking men in this building keep the noise down so that your ladies can give their full and undivided attention to my beautiful body.
So that started it. He would, you know, he would remove his robe, insulting all the guys in the crowd, calling them fat, out of shape.
So he was Val Venus before Val Venus.
He was
exactly.
However, he backed up every single thing he did. He was the perfect. He had the perfect body. He can cut a promo, and he was a great talent in the ring. Not just good, he was great.
You know, his physique could be compared to John Morrison.
Yes.
Without the
aerial shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Again, but he had a sick missile dropkick, which he really didn't. I wish he would have used it more.
What about his diving knee drop that he
his diving knee drop was great. He actually replaced Paul Orndorff, who was in the Heenan family for a second time.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite. But, you know, if you're going to be a heel and you're going to generate some heat, why not go after one of the greatest shit talkers in the business? Better yet, why don't you go after his wife?
Wait,
yeah.
No,
what?
Watch this.
Talk. Listen, what's the matter, Ray? You know what I'm talking about?
No way.
Okay. So what WWE did was they decided that Jake the Snake Roberts was a face at this time, right?
Yeah.
And his wife at the time was a soap opera actress, and she was very, very popular.
I did not know that.
Cheryl Roberts, yes.
I did not know that.
Damn, I thought you were talking about Ric Flair. Go ahead.
No, Ric Flair comes later on in life. We're doing this chronologically. Come on. Stick with the fucking plan here.
I am.
You're getting a fucking lesson here, bro.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
I hooked this dude up with some fat swag, and I'm giving him a fucking wrestling lesson. And I'm sharing my diet soda with him. So this is like the fucking perfect night, okay?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Okay?
A rather ravishing night.
A rather ravishing night, indeed. Yes.
Zinger.
Hello. Fresco. Anyway. So, Rage, what he did was, he points out this chick in the crowd and starts hitting on her.
Yep.
Oh, no.
It's hilarious, dude.
You're going to hear the entire thing.
Yeah.
No way.
So, pack a lunch. This is Rick Rude hitting on Cheryl Roberts, not knowing who she was, in storyline. Oh, hold on a second. Rage, before, I don't know if you know this, but what Rick Rude would do is after his matches, he'd pull chicks out of the audience and kiss them. And, you know.
Yeah.
So he was looking for another chick to play with.
It's just another way of generating heat. It was so good.
It was so good. So this is what he's doing now, Bobby. Bobby's that time again. Pay attention.
Wait, so he?
What? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
He macked with.
He macked. Well, no, wait. And listen very closely to Ventura.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to say something subliminal that is hysterical now, but nobody knew back in the 80s. Let's listen to Ventura.
We're going to give some young lady the thrill of her lifetime. I'm going to give some young lady a rude awakening. Who will it be, Bobby? Well, you see anything over here?
Supermarket for rude, you know? Going shopping
in Cape
Girardeau,
huh? Yeah. Not you, buddy.
Wait, it's better.
What'd he say? He said, not you, buddy. Some guy wanted a rude awakening.
Nah, we're lucky at this time.
That character Patterson's not in the building, is he?
Wow.
What did he say?
Phil.
Tell him.
believe Vince let him get away with that.
Breathe. I don't think he. I don't think Vince knew he was going to say that. It's the whole thing. And
what did he
say? He goes, is that character Patterson in the building?
You didn't hear that?
You know Pat Patterson?
Pat Patterson's gay.
Pat Patterson is gay. He's Liberace gay. He's Rock Hudson bend over and take it in the ass gay.
I can't believe Vince let him get away with that.
Why the fuck? How did he get away with that?
Ventura used to say stuff like that all the time, but I didn't think he would say stuff.
Wow.
I don't think Vince knew he was going to say that.
Wow. Well, he must have got yelled at for that one.
Oof. Yes, Shaylin.
With him saying
In due time, my love. Just give me some time. I will definitely. I'm gonna let's go back a couple seconds.
Him saying like it's like that's kind of rude. Saying
you think?
You think?
Let's play it again.
It was.
There she is, Bobby. All decked out in white. Whoa, there, little look, Bobby. She's
a beauty and beast earlier. That's a beauty for sure.
I missed it, but let it play.
Yeah.
If she's from this town, you really believe it? Why not? Must have come from St. Louis, Kansas City, somewhere.
Hey, baby,
about that, I don't think she's all that thrilled with getting into the ring, but she's not getting up, Jesse. She's sitting right there. I'll tell you what it is, McMahon. She's just shy. She's embarrassed. That's the problem.
Really? Cut the music!
Not only that, she's liable to faint if she gets in there. She's so thrilled. No, sirree, I don't... Look at... She's embarrassed. Who wouldn't
you be? You sure looking fine tonight, sweetheart.
He likes those women with the rings on.
She's looking good, ain't she, Bobby?
She's playing a little hard. She's married, you're right.
Used to that. I love it. Ooh, look at those legs, Bobby.
I think this is demeaning myself. I mean,
sweetheart, I know you might be a little intimidated by the sexiest man alive, but you know, and I know, that you're here for the same reason all these other ladies are here, and that is to see ravishing Rick Rude. Am I right?
Wrong. I can't believe it.
Oh,
this girl getting a chance of her lifetime for stardom. And she says,
look at
Heenan
can't believe it. Ravishing Rick Rude. Sweetheart, I can understand you're a little bit intimidated right now. So I'm going to make it real easy for you. Tell me. Is Ravishing Rick Rude the sexiest man in the WWF?
No.
No.
Oh, that's rude.
I can't believe this.
Very.
How about that? Ravishing Rick Rude is being rejected. Where'd they find that tramp?
Where'd they find that tramp, he says.
Okay, baby cakes.
Baby cakes.
Tell me now. If you didn't come here to see Ravishing Rick Rude, the sexiest man alive, who did you come here to see?
My husband.
Your husband?
Is that the choker sitting next to her?
I like that. Which aisle is he working? He must be an usher. Where is this ugly thing, your husband? Where is your husband? I don't see him. Just what does this husband do?
Professional wrestler.
Professional.
Hey,
professional Jesse. Wrestler.
Well, that's not my wife, man.
No shit.
Honey, he's going to be unconscious for a while. You better hop on the rabbit's bandwagon. A professional wrestler.
Bandwagon, that weasel.
Wait a minute.
That's somebody's wife?
Whose
wife is that, McMahon?
Big, big, bad professional wrestler, Baby Cakes.
Baby Cakes.
Twitch. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Whoa, my goodness.
Whoa, my goodness.
The place lit up.
Jake Roberts' wife.
Hey, that's that
I should have known.
What?
That is nothing but a sleazy, low-down, worthless piece of garbage.
Whoa.
And I'm going to tell you something,
Jake
woman.
Jake the Snake earlier on.
For you to hang with that man,
Russell,
that makes you just as much as a stinking lowlife as he is.
I can't
in my book,
this
was cool. You,
it's very rude, I must say.
No pun intended.
Anybody in your family isn't worth 2 cents.
That's insulting.
So what do you think about that?
At this point, she smacks Rick Rude in the face.
Right, she smacks him.
You want to play rough, sweetheart?
Wait a minute, come on. Hey, somebody control him.
She hit him first. Why did they get up and up?
He's hurting her wrist. Come on.
So Jake comes out, breaks it up in his blue jeans.
And then gets his ass handed to him.
He gets his ass handed to him. And then to rub salt into the wound, he comes out 2 weeks later with Cheryl Roberts airbrushed on his tights.
Yeah, he actually put her photo on his tights.
On his crotch.
On his crotch,
mind
you.
On his crotch.
It was hysterical.
So they feuded. That was fun.
That's some creeper shit.
He wore the tights.
And then Jake Roberts, like, rips him right off on live TV.
He wore the tights against Junkyard Dog in the first SummerSlam. I was there at the Garden. That was August 27th, 1988. I was
there for that?
Yes. Oh. I was sitting almost ringside.
I'm jealous.
During the match, JYD had his back, climbed to the top turnbuckle, and he pulled down the tights to reveal a second with Cheryl Roberts printed on him. And Dog hit him with the fist, and Roberts came back out, caused JYD to be disqualified. Rude gets the win, and then Rude and Roberts came to a conclusion when Roberts DDT'd Rude following at the Survivor Series in 1988. So now he's got momentum. He's probably the best heel in the company at this point.
I agree.
Next to DiBiase and Andre. But genuinely a badass. So it was only fitting that he goes after a title. He gets the... he gets a shot at the Ultimate Warrior, but what had to happen first was they had a super pose down at the 89 Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Where they would do like these poses and shit. Let's play what happens. Play this for a minute. Whenever it can.
Get ready for the super pose down.
I'm just going to show the lovely people in Houston what a true competitor he is.
Ravishing Rick Rude. He's the sexiest man alive.
Houston, what did you think?
Of course.
Don't forget, it's his capacity crowd that's going to judge. Look at the peak on those biceps.
I'm going to call this the most muscular pose.
Abdominals now by the reigning Intercontinental Champion. Oh, look at that.
Ravishing Rick Rude with his final move. Oh, my.
Listen to the ovation.
What did you think for the Ultimate Warrior?
Hands down winner. You're looking at him. Now look out. Oh, Ravishing. With that steel bar, just nailed him. What a despicable display.
Ultimate Warrior, you think you're a winner? Well, you're a stinking loser. Now you've opened the whole ball of wax up, Rude, because the Ultimate Warrior makes a challenge to you for the belt, Rude. WrestleMania 5 will be the day I will take your title. How must I prepare, you must ask yourself. Should I jump up the tallest building in the world? Should I lay on the lawn and let it run over me with lawnmowers? Should I go to Africa and let it trample me with raging elephants?
The odds are on me, Warrior. Heads, I win. Tails,
you lose. As I feel the injection from the gods above, I only know that the Ultimate Warrior is totally out of control.
Ultimate Warrior, full speed ahead. Chance for the Brain to get his hands on some gold. Threw him across there like a rag doll. Look at that power.
took a lot out of him. He shook him right loose. Clothesline by the Warrior. Look at Heenan. Grabs the leg of the Warrior. He's holding on. We have a new champion, Ravishing Rick Rude. History has been made here in WrestleMania 5.
He didn't even need Bobby Heenan to help him cheat, but he did.
Yeah.
Nick German suplex in the room. What's up, Nick?
As a matter of fact, hey, Nick, what's up? I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, Rick Rude did not want Bobby Heenan as his manager.
Right. That's the story.
He
didn't want Bobby Heenan as manager, but it just...
It added... I think it was great.
Yeah, it was a good move. You know?
It made him look like a main eventer.
No, he was a main eventer.
Yeah.
And it just put some... It gave Bobby Heenan some credibility in terms of having champions in the stable. As great as Bobby Heenan was, he didn't have a lot of champions. Albano had more champions. Jimmy Hart had more champions. Mr. Fuji had more champions. I think it was... I don't think it was the fault of anybody. I just think it was just the way it was.
Yeah.
Bobby Heenan didn't have a lot of tag teams, per se. Like, he made tag teams. Like
He had
Stud and Bundy. That was it.
He did manage...
The Islanders.
The Brainbusters as tag team champions.
Well, that was later on. But before that, he had the Islanders.
He had the Islanders.
He had Stud and Bundy.
He did it, yeah.
But that was the only tag teams he really had.
But then...
Colossal Connection, too.
Colossal Connection, yes.
And they won belt. They won gold later on.
So back then, managers had, fleets of talent?
Stables. Yes, stables.
Not even factions, it's stables.
Well, yeah, stables.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Oh. Yeah. And it was fun because...
Jimmy Hart had his stable.
Jimmy Hart had
Bobby
a stable.
Bobby Heenan had his.
Johnny Valiant didn't have a stable. He just had the Dream Teams.
Yeah.
He had two different versions of the Dream Teams. Jimmy Hart had tag teams. He had the Hart Foundation.
The Nasty Boys.
The Nasty Boys.
The Natural Disasters. The
Natural Disasters.
He also had Honky Tonk Man.
And Greg Valentine, and Rhythm and Blues.
Yes.
Ugh.
They're okay.
Yeah. But, yeah. You know, Albano was the manager of tag team champion. He had 16 champions.
Yeah, he did.
He had the Blackjacks. He had Bulldogs. The Bulldogs. He had Wyndham and Rotundo. He had, Jesus Christ.
So the Wild Samoans.
The Wild Samoans. He had, I think he managed, Guerrero and Martel. I'm not sure.
He did.
Okay. So, you know, it was so much fun. Dude,
a lot of fun.
A lot of fun to see those guys like that, you know? But, of course, so Rude wins the IC title and then drops it to Warrior back at SummerSlam.
That same year.
Yeah, that's it. An interference from Piper.
Yep.
Piper got involved. Feud with Piper. And then feud with Warrior after Warrior won the world title. They had an epic cage match at SummerSlam 90.
That match is very underrated.
Yeah, Flair, Rude failed to win the title and then left in 90. And he came right before he was supposed to feud with the Big Boss Man, who made some disparaging remarks about his mom. So that was pretty fun. We talk about WCW now.
Oh, so good.
So he made his debut at Halloween Havoc. 1991, and where is it? It is, where is it? WCW. So the Phantom fights the Z. The guy comes out. The Phantom comes out as the Z Man. He fights the Z Man. I'm sorry. So let's get to the end of the match.
Should have known this, Jim. Knees. He knows how to put a move.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's your winner, the WCW.
Comes in as a WCW Phantom. He had a fucking mask on and a creepy looking hat.
The man behind this mask is the only man that can crush the Hulk.
You know who that is?
That's God.
Stands over the remnants of his career and says, "Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Rest in peace, Stinger. Your career is over, ladies and gentlemen. The next United States Heavyweight Champion."
Wow. Is that incredible or what?
It is.
What a coup.
That's right, people. It's Ravishing Rick Rude. And anybody who knows Ravishing Rick Rude knows that all I care about is myself, my women, and my money. It just so happens that my money man has a problem with the World Championship Committee. And the way he sees fit to solve this problem is to dismantle the WCW brick by brick. What better way, Mr. Dangerously, to start off than with a low-life scumbag like Sting?
That's awesome.
Wow.
You know, Mr. Dangerously, a couple of questions come to my mind, being that I've never had the opportunity to stand face to face with the Stinger. I'm kind of wondering if he's really as small as he looks on television. I'm kind of wondering if he is the low-life garbage collected scumbag that he portrays on TV.
What are we talking about, the dicks now?
No, so it's
like muscle mass.
We're talking about
Sting.
So he beats Sting for the U.S. title. He joins the Dangerous Alliance,
which is fantastic.
Have you heard of the Dangerous Alliance?
I've heard of it. I don't know the members.
So Paulie Dangerously had a stable called Dangerous Alliance. It was Medusa. It was Double A on Anderson. Beautiful Bobby Eaton.
Zbyszko.
Larry Zbyszko and Stunning Steve Austin.
Paulie had Zbyszko?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, they were tag team champions, the Enforcers.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yep.
The Cruncher and the
Enforcer.
Yeah, man.
They were called the Enforcers.
Paulie is how old at this point?
He's probably in his 20s.
Late 20s, early 30s.
And he's managing Zbyszko?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
He managed Bobby Eaton, Stunning Steve Austin. Ravishing Rick Rude.
Medusa. Oh. He had the Samoan SWAT team before that.
Yep.
He had the original Midnight Express before that.
Yep. Oh, so good.
So he beat Sting for the U.S. title. Had a bunch of feuds with Ricky Steamboat. They had an epic Iron Man match, if you remember that.
The 30-minute one?
At Beach Blast.
So...
Yeah, me and Mega Powers did that episode.
Yep. You gotta watch that, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good... Beach Blast 92.
Watch it.
The fucking Iron Man match with him and Steamboat.
Oh.
They mix it up. They mix it up. In 92, him and Medusa left the Dangerous Alliance. They feuded with a returning Nikita Koloff. Challenged then-champion Ron Simmons for a bunch of matches, but didn't win the title. In 92, he had a legit neck injury. He had to forfeit the U.S. title. He had a 14-month reign, FYI. It was the second-longest reign in the 40-year existence of the title.
Because Lex Luger was the longest reigning at that time.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Your favorite guy.
My favorite guy. Returned in 93, reclaimed the title from Dustin Rhodes. Held up a bunch of controversial finishes. Like I said, he had the Iron Man match at Beach Blast.
Yep.
And then they had a best of two on WCW Saturday Night. Rude won the first match. Rhodes won the second match on September 4th and losing the chance of regaining the U.S. title. Now, here's where things get interesting. In 1993, Flair had beaten Vader for the world title. Okay?
Correct.
Rick Rude, at this point now, sets his sights on a world title. Okay? And... on August 28th, 1993, he was a guest on then-champions of Ric Flair's A Flair for the Gold. It was like a talk segment, right? So he fought Flair for the title at Fall Brawl 93, and I have that here, I believe. Let's see. Do I have it? Did he win? Where is it? There's a promo. No. Where is it? There it is.
Back with you on Saturday night. Rick Rude defeated Ric Flair to become the world champion. Let's show you how this happened, and then we'll take you to Rude's home for these exclusive comments on TBS. Atomic drop. Up. And there.
First down on the mat.
Here he goes. He's got a leg. Figure four.
He's hooked it! And he's hooked it in the middle!
Yeah, I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear it from one who cares about the. But you got to understand now. This is almost a 15-year run he had, with, and he wins a world title. This was a big deal, okay. But here's the fucked up part: WCW withdrew from the NWA.
Yep.
So they lost their rights to have the NWA championship. So they made their own WCW championship. So they called the NWA title, the Big Gold Belt, the International Championship. Rude lost that to Hiroshi Hase in Japan at a Tokyo Dome show, which was another good match. Rude won the belt a week later, dropped it to Sting at Spring Stampede. So now it's being fucking defended as the international title. And then, of course, Rude was a three-time world international champion at that point.
Yep.
Got his back injured when he got a when Sting hit him with a suicide dive, and he hit the corner. He was stripped of the title. He couldn't fight. He had to retire.
Yeah. After that match with Sting in Japan, it was over. Yeah, it was done.
So wrestlers had a thing called the Lloyd's of London. It was an
insurance policy.
So once you cashed out on the insurance policy, you basically could never get insurance again to wrestle. That basically meant that you will retire and you can't, you know. So when guys had the Lloyd contract insurance policy, you basically fucking signed your death warrant. You knew you couldn't wrestle no more, you know. So what do you want, Bruce? Go away. So he goes to ECW.
And that's where I got my first taste of him.
So you saw him coming in with the mask and with Shane Douglas and...
Yeah, I have the ECW, was it Barely Legal?
Mm-hmm.
The first one. That came with my ECW One Night Stand DVD from like 2006. So yeah, that's where I first saw him at.
Yeah, we talked about that last week. And it was fucked up because... You know, seeing him in ECW was fun, though. We talked about this last week.
Yeah.
But he actually, with the whole feud, he actually helped Lawler win a couple of matches against Dreamer and Sandman.
He did.
So he was actually on the other side, you know. Yeah. But he had a thing for Francine, so he just harassed Shane Douglas, so which is pretty cool.
It was. It was awesome.
Oh, my God, Francine.
It's just, I would love to have seen Shane Douglas versus Rick Rude if it wasn't for his back injury.
I think if Rude wasn't injured... He probably would have been a WCW champion.
Oh, yeah.
And ECW champion.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
So, and I think inadvertently, Taz would have had to take a back seat. He would have feuded with Shane Douglas for that belt.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been fucking fantastic. But Rude was a part-timer at this point. He was a per diem guy. You know, he didn't get here and have long contracts. This appealed to WWF. And they signed him, and he shows up. Well, first of all, on November 17th, 1997, he showed up on Raw and Nitro.
Yes, yeah.
So
how the fuck does one do that?
Because one was taped and one wasn't.
Oh, okay.
So he was on...
Contractually, though.
He was a per diem worker.
There was no...
He got paid per show.
Okay, all right.
So I can play this. It was on my wife's birthday night back in 97. November 17th, let's play this clip.
It's time for the Generation X. Hit the music.
Rick Rude appeared on both Raw and Nitro on November the 17th, and it certainly surprised us to a significant degree because Vince and I had been having ongoing conversations with Rick about a new contract and extending his current working agreement. We thought we had come to an understanding and were under the impression from talking with him that we had come to an understanding and was in the process of executing the paperwork. His contract at that time was a short-term contract and had lapsed, so we thought we had the contract extended per our conversations with Rick, and then a taped version of Raw, he was included, and then he appeared the same night on a live edition of Nitro. So it was a little surprising because we thought we had a deal with him.
24 little hours.
You know, and we all have our 15 minutes of fame, and I'd like to take a couple of my 15 minutes to talk about the rights and the wrongs
in
the world
promo.
Of professional ever. Wrestling.
Ridge, did you ever hear this?
Never.
What's wrong in the world of professional wrestling is Shawn Michaels claiming to be world champion when he never beat Bret Hart.
This is him talking about the Montreal Screwjob.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the world of professional wrestling is for Vince McMahon to instruct a referee to ring the bell in order to rob Bret Hart of his title.
This was a shoot.
Definite shoot. This is him on Nitro right now.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, what's right in the world of professional wrestling is for Bret Hart to abandon the Titanic and swim to the refuge of the NWO.
So he joins the NWO to manage his friend, Kurt Hennig.
That's my second taste of him.
Okay, so you remember that. And he helped Conan beat Goldberg. You know, Rude joined NWO Hollywood. And then by late 98, early 99, they were both off. Him and Hennig were off TV due to injuries. Hennig had a leg thing going on. Rude thought he had testicular cancer.
Yeah.
So, which turned out to be something else. And then Hennig returned from injury, but Rude left the company in 99.
There was also rumors before what happened to him, that in 99 he was going for a comeback.
Yeah, he was trying for a comeback.
He was training really hard to come back, and unfortunately that never happened.
Sadly, he lost a son last year to a motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
Son Colton, he was only, I think, 19 or 20, right? He was 40 years old. He died later on that year in April of 99, from heart failure.
Yeah.
He overdosed on medication. And like Hot Choppy said, at the time of his death, Rude was training for a return to the ring.
Yeah.
His first finishing move, ironically, was DDT.
It was.
Then he did some kind of gut-wrench backbreaker thing, and then he did the Hangman's Noose, which was
the Rude Awakening.
The Rude Awakening.
I think he had one of the best-looking neck breakers at the time.
If you're an aspiring wrestler and you have a really good body and you want to be a heel, you might want to watch some Rick Rude matches.
Rick Rude was the ultimate heel. I think, to me, in my opinion, the greatest heel of all time because he never turned face afterwards, if you think about it. He was always a heel the majority of his career.
If you go on the network and you type in Rick Rude, you're going to get an ass ton of good stuff.
Yes.
His stuff with Piper, his stuff with Roberts, his stuff with the Warrior, his stuff. He even had matches with Hogan when Hogan was champ in 87.
Those are pretty good.
Better heel than Shane Douglas?
I'm sorry?
Better heel than Shane Douglas.
I think Shane was a bit of a better talker.
You know what it is about Shane, though? I love Shane. He's my favorite from ECW. It's just that he was, when he did a promo, he cursed a lot. And most of his cursing was for shock value.
Okay,
I feel like Rude told a better story.
I think Rude
is better.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair assessment. Yeah. Rick Rude clearly with me top five, maybe even top 10 favorite wrestlers of all time.
Me too. He's so good.
There's nothing. I found nothing wrong with him. Just you know, sad that he's dead. You know.
Yeah, when I found out in 99 that he had passed away, I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me. I just saw him on TV not that long ago. I was
1999. He was just
15.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing, man, because, I mean, and it was commonplace that fucking wrestlers were dropping like flies.
At that time, it was like every week somebody was dying.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So there it is, man. It's a little retrospective. I'm sure we'll revisit Rick Rude in some of his matches.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably talk about that fall brawl, and we'll probably do that match eventually.
We should.
We'll talk about the Warrior stuff again. We'll revisit. We'll actually revisit. Well, WrestleMania 3 is going to be 30 years old at the end of the month.
Oh, my God. I can't believe that.
So keep that in mind. It's some of the things that we're working on. I don't want to spoil it yet, yeah. But we're doing something big for that, actually. So we hope everybody enjoyed that. It's about that time to wrap it up.
Yes, it is.
But let's get some final thoughts from our guest. Our guest tonight, Rage, had...
What'd you think?
What'd you think, man?
I mean, I still don't know about Rick Rude. Well, no, I'm just joking.
You don't have to like him, dude. Cause
no, I didn't say I didn't like him. I said I still don't know about him. But, oh. I mean, yeah. I mean, from what I hear, I still gotta watch him, but...
Yeah.
I mean, he really does sound like a... He sounds like a real, like, man's man.
He was tough. He was like that's another thing.
Like he sounds like that. I made the comparison earlier that he's like he was Val Venus before Val Venus.
Correct.
You know, besides all the sexual innuendos and all that, but he sounds like someone who damn sure deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I'll say that.
He's in now.
And I actually think that after he goes in the Hall of Fame, WWE is going to make a DVD about him.
Oh.
I'm definitely down for that.
That's going to be fantastic.
I want that in my collection.
That's going to be fantastic. Anytime you can do... you know, I don't know how involved his family is. He was a devout family man. According to some wrestlers, he would actually tape his wedding ring up. He'd wear his ring wedding ring while he wrestled.
Yes.
And he would tape it up. Like
he was not, even though his character was that of a womanizer, outside the ring he was not a womanizer.
Yep, I'm on. Hold on 1 second.
Yes. Yes. I'm done now. It's 2 hours.
The silent majority has arrived.
Yeah. Hold on
yeah. 5 minutes. Okay. Well, now that was our cue. We're wrapping it up anyway.
Yep.
The unsilent majority is in the building.
Wrap it up, B. Wrap it up.
That's what I'm saying. So let's let's wrap this bad boy up, shall we?
Do some plugs.
All right. Hold on a second. Let's play some music. Hello. How come? Where the hell's my? There it is. All right. There we go. So. Hope everybody enjoyed that tonight. Want to thank Rage for hanging out with us tonight.
Thank you, my friend.
Of course. No problem. Thank you.
All right.
What a great show.
Yeah, what a great show. Next week, we're going to have a special St. Patrick's episode.
Yeah.
It's going to be an open mic night, shit talking, drinking some green beer.
I just might be here for
that. All right, some corned beef.
Ooh.
Cabbage. It's my wife's favorite dish, even though she's 100% Italian.
Oh. Irish soda bread.
So yeah, maybe we could get some soda bread. That'd be fun. So, play some House of Pain. But definitely check that out. Check out all the shows on the Rant. Tomorrow night is the Wrestling Call-In Show, the countdown to the last episode. Mr. Will, I am Morgan. Sunday is Surfers, What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. Thank you to Surfer for calling in tonight. Of course, Tuesday, Double Shot. You got Shining Wizards and the Rant. Thursday, you have Thumbstick Ninjas as well as the Rant Wrestling. And, of course, Choppy and I will be back next Friday for Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. You got the Wizards. You got us. You got Pat Buck. You have Nigel McGuinness. Hello.
Hello.
You got
Hello.
Inconclusive Breakdown and Dave Destruction. So all those guys, shout out to all those guys. Tomorrow night, WrestlePro in Rawway, if you want to go out there. I know Bowens is fighting for the title, or he's defending his title against Bobby Wayward,
yeah.
Or vice versa.
I know
Bruce Pritchard's going to be there.
Fala Ba's going to be there.
Oh, they're back from Florida?
They're going to be there.
Choppy's losing his voice.
I am.
I'm sorry, brother. We'll wrap it up. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com for all our back catalog, if you will, and support all of our friends, especially our friends over at Post-Match Podcast, a bunch of our friends. Just support them all, really. All our friends that are not network affiliates.
Yep.
Yeah.
You want to buy a t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/TurnbuckleThrowbacks. You want to email us, it's TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com. We still have the contest. Please, we want you to rebook WrestleMania. Send us your breakdown and the email. The best card gets a big prize package from my closet. please, please, please. Twitter, at T-Buckle T-Bax, at Choppy Margacka. Rage, what's your Twitter handle?
That would be at Philosarcasm.
All right, so go watch Rage, you know, plot some shit. So on behalf of Rage, Choppy, I'm the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, bidding you adieu, reminding you don't get arrested, avoid the clap, be kind to animals, don't say the N-word unless you're Tony C and on Esther. And that's pretty much it. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night.
Bye, bitches. I'll see you later.